Well, here we are again. And today it's going to be a little different, but we're going to talk about glory. And what is glory? You know, it's a word that's used often in a circle of believers, but rarely defined. So, just what is glory anyway? Now, the word glory, particularly from the Old Testament, is kabod, and it means honor, glorious abundance, abundance in riches, honor, splendor, right back to glory again, honor and dignity, honor in reputation, and honor in reverence. That's glory. So, there's God's glory, and when we think of glory, we tend to think of God's glory. You know, God's glory is so great, mankind simply cannot survive the fullness of His glory. You know, people say, oh Lord, we want Your glory to show up. Well, yes, we do. But fortunately, God knows how to meter things out. Because if He ever gave us the full glory, we would be completely instantaneously consumed. Because His glory is beyond anything that we can really imagine or comprehend. You know, there was a time when Moses wanted to see God, but was restrained because God's glory was just too great for any man to encounter in its fullness. And God did tell Moses He would permit him to see Him, but Moses could only be able to see His back parts. In Exodus 33, we read about this, and there are a couple of verses here. Exodus 33, 22 and 23. And it shall come to pass, while My glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with My hand while I pass by. And I will take away My hand, and thou shalt see My back parts, but My face shall not be seen. Because Moses just could not, in his earth suit, so to speak, in our earthly bodies, we just couldn't tolerate that kind of glory. You may remember also there's a story of when Moses went up on the mountain and he received the commandments, when God wrote the Ten Commandments in stone, and Moses came back down from the mountain. They had to put a napkin over his face because his radiance was so bright and shone so much that there was the glory radiating from him just from the amount of glory that he had been able to handle in God's presence. Now remember, he wasn't getting the full shot of God's glory. But even that bit of glory that he did get, that bit of glory was so much that the other people needed to cover his head and his face with a napkin so that they could continue to be in his presence. Boy, think about that. That kind of glory. You know, the scriptures really give us a glimpse of differences in glory and what could be stood and what could not be withstood. You have the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Now this was penned by the Apostle Paul. As I said in 1 Corinthians 15:41. talking about this glory and variations in glory. But it also demonstrates, and I want you to understand this, it demonstrates the order of things God set in motion at creation. When you have the sun, the moon, and the stars, we know that the sun was the greater light and the moon the lesser light. But now let's think of some things that we know have happened. We have put men on the moon, and they could walk around on the moon. Now we know that the moon gives a lesser light than the sun because it's a reflection. It's reflected light. Now try to imagine putting men on the sun to walk around in the same way. They would be instantaneously consumed. I think that gives you a great example of God's glory compared to the glory that mankind would have or could deal with and being in the presence of. Now, in a little bit, it may sound like I'm sort of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but really I'm not. Because God gives us what we can handle. It says, the scripture says, God will not put any more on us than we can bear. Well, you know, most people see that as trouble. But he also won't put any more glory on us than we can bear. He wouldn't let Moses see his full glory or look in his face. He put him in the cleft of the rock and held his hand there to shield him. It's just an interesting thing. And when I was thinking about glory and I was talking to the Lord about this message and putting this message together, I realized that that would be a good analogy, that we could handle walking on the moon with its reflected glory of the sun, but to send somebody to walk on the sun, now that would be a much, much different thing. Now we know in the body of Christ there are vessels of varying purpose. We even know that in Scripture it talks about that there are some vessels for noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. In other words, not quite as noble a purpose. Certainly not in our eyes. Some more carnal-minded folk may see this as one being better than the other. Listen to me here, please. This is not so. It is just not so. God looks at our hearts, and in doing so, proves us in our motives and our actions as to the glory given to each. How sad to be a person given a large piece in our place in the kingdom, but only fulfilling 30%. If we were given that, if you're one of those people given this large thing in the kingdom to do, and you only ended up fulfilling 30% of your assignment. Now think about this. Because each of us has an assignment in the bringing in of the kingdom. And if your assignment happens to be a large one, then, and you only bring in 30%, well, a person given what would be thought of to be a small place in the kingdom, but they bring in their small piece at 100% of their assignment, you see, there would actually be greater victory in their place than the other who did little to fulfill their assignment. Can you see that? Can you get a picture of that in your mind? Get a picture in your mind of maybe you've got two circles, and one's a large circle, and the other is a small circle. But the small circle is filled in with color at 100%. And the large circle is filled in with color at just 30%. Now you could rationalize and you could say, oh, but that 30% is bigger than the 100% of the small circle. And that might very well be true. But you see, we don't judge each other. God judges. And if God gave you the big circle to fill in, and you did 30%, or he gave you the little circle to fill in, and you did 100%, Who then was the most faithful? The one who did the 30%, even though it's more in volume than the 100%er. Think about that for a minute. And then take a look at what you perceive, and it may not be an actual perception, but think about what you perceive to be the size of your circle that you're to fill in the building of the kingdom. Now you say, well, but if my circle is big, it seems like so much. I would submit to you that probably the person with the little circle felt like it was a lot too. Remember when Jesus told about the rich man who was leaving and he gave different a number of talents to the people? And the one who had the smallest did nothing. And then he took from that person and gave to the one who did. You see, God can reassign some things. He doesn't repent of his calling, but he can reassign some things. Now, I've heard some people say, well, if I don't do what God has assigned for me to do, then he'll just get somebody else to do it. Well, that may not be entirely accurate either. Each of us has been placed in a position in the kingdom where we're going to impact, encounter, come in contact with, be in close proximity to our attitudes, our appearance, the way we present ourselves or whatever will reach people that no one else could perhaps reach. We each have such a unique assignment within the kingdom that it is so important that we apply ourselves with what we have been given. And in a few minutes, I'll talk about the glory we have been given, because whether you know it or not, you have been given some of God's glory. To fill in your area, your circle of what you're to do in the kingdom. You see, there would actually be the greater victory in their places then, you know, other than, you know, who did what. If you did little to fulfill your assignment, the person who did 100% really did more as far as the way God looks at it. You know, there was glory, and on the cover of the teaching sketch that goes with this, I have a cloud raining, and that's not bad news there. That is, think of that as a cloud where God is raining down His glory. That's a cloud of blessings, showers of blessings. You know, we've all heard that hymn. Now, you know, in Exodus 40, 34 through 36, and we're thinking about that too with this glory thing, you see. And that it tells a story. It says, then the cloud, now this is Exodus 40, 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now a cloud's covering, but the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up again. In other words, they're following this cloud as they're in the wilderness. And their lives are centered around this tabernacle where God is tabernacling with His people. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Now Moses, it says, could not enter the tabernacle because of the glory. Now this is something that many people don't understand because they've not experienced the glory. Many people attend congregations where the glory of God never appears. You see, the glory of God has weight. One of the things that the glory of God has is weight. You may be in a service, you may be in your home alone, you may be worshiping, And suddenly you find you can't stand up. Suddenly you find you fall down. Suddenly you find maybe you're just sitting someplace, but you're unable to move because the weight of the glory of God is so heavy that you cannot remove yourself from that place. This is very similar to what was happening there. You remember in the story when they came after Jesus in the garden, and they had all these soldiers with them, and they were coming to arrest him. And Jesus said, when he was asked if he was Jesus, he said, "I am." Now, we know that when God said, when he was asked, "What's your name?" he said, "I am that I am." Now, our Jewish brethren would say, they don't say the name of God, they just say the words, "the name." When they come to what we see in the scripture in all capital letters, "Lord," they would just read what I read here, and the cloud of glory of the name filled the tabernacle. That's how they would read that. Because they won't even say the name. Because they are so reverently fearful of God. Now, that's not a terror, it's a reverence. And so, there they are, but when Jesus said, when they were coming to get him, and they said, "Are you he?" And he said, "I am," read it for yourself. You will find that the soldiers all fell back and collapsed. Now, that's what happened to just unbelievers when he said his name and the glory came forth and the weight of the glory pushed them down. People say they don't believe in slain in the spirit. You need to read about it in the scripture because it's all through the scripture. It's all through the scripture. That's what happened to those Roman soldiers and soldiers from the temple. They just fell down. Read about when Jesus came out of the tomb. What happened? It says these soldiers just fell down. And then they were told to concoct this story because they didn't want anybody to hear the real story. You know, we have that sort of happening in our history right now. People are sort of concocting stories because they don't want people to hear the real story. Because the glory of God is unmistakable. And you and I are to have the glory of God in our lives. It is not supposed to be just a sometime thing. Now, in intensity, it may change. But the fact that it's there should always be the case. The intensity changed when God was tabernacling with his people, did it not? It said when the cloud lifted, what did they do? They gathered up the tabernacle and everything and they moved on again following the cloud. You see? So there are times when the glory lifts a little bit and you can go on as you know to do. And there are other times when the glory cloud hits you so hard. I know Mrs. Sojourner was in a meeting in Nashville and she saw the glory cloud come into the meeting. And she described, I believe it was a purplish cloud, pink and purple cloud, and lavender that came in as people were worshiping and taking part in the service there. Big service in a big venue. So what about your part, your glory? Oh, it sounds kind of odd. People say, "Oh, I don't have any glory. I don't have any glory." Oh, you better read scripture. You do have glory. The scripture says if you're giving yourself glory, in other words, not coming from God, but you're just glorifying yourself, it says that's not really a smart thing to do. But when Jesus prayed for his disciples and for you and I in John chapter 17, this is what he said very clearly, starting with verse 20 through 23. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone." Now, them alone there, he means the disciples. "I pray also for those," now it's you and I. He says, "I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, Well, if you believe, do you not believe through their message? Wasn't it their message being passed down through the generations that you believed and why you accepted Christ? Through their message, he says, that all of them may be one, Father. All of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now, I will tell you, if God is in you, glory is in you. You cannot have God without having glory in there. Think about that. I'm beginning to sound like the Psalms where it says, Selah. That means pause and think about that. So, may they also be in us. Now listen to this. Listen. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, why is this glory in you? To glorify you? No, it is to glorify God so people know that God is in you and that you and Christ were sent. We are sent once. Now listen to verse 22 here very carefully. Because he was talking about the disciples before this. Now he's talking about you and I. And he says, this is Jesus' words. These words are in red. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, what part of that would you not understand if Jesus himself says that he has given us the glory that the Father gave him? Now, think about that. Think about that. Then he goes on to say, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know. So why would we be brought to unity? So we can feel good about being unified? No, it is to let the world know that the Father sent Jesus. He says that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You understand, Jesus is saying here so that everybody will know that God the Father loves us just as he loved Jesus the Son. See, I paused there. I want you to think about that. I want you to let that soak into you. Soak into your heart. Soak into your mind. Understand this. As a believer, the glory of God is there. It is in you. You hear me say this all the time. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That is the glory of God. And it's in you as a believer. So be careful where you take it. Be careful as the Holy Spirit and the glory of God travel with you. Where do you take it? Where do you release it? Where you go, it is released. What does it say to those around you? What does it do to and for those around you? How does it affect their lives and your life? The glory of God. Jesus said, my prayer is not for the disciples alone. I pray also for those, that's you and I, who will believe in me through their message. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Wow. Victory. Victory. I'm telling you, you should be encouraged because you are on the cusp of victory when you grasp this and understand it. You are on the cusp of victory. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No illness that besets your body can overcome you. I remember just recently we were in a hospital and we prayed for this young lady whose blood sugar was just way out of whack and many things were happening to her and she's having loss of nerve sensation and things of this sort in her extremities. And I laid my hand on her shoulder to pray for her. And my forearm and my hand became so hot. that I could feel the power, the glory of God going into her. I knew it instantly. Does that make me unique? No, but it makes me willing to use what God put in me. Are you willing to use what God put in you? If you're afraid people are going to laugh at you, if you're afraid, if you're just a fraidy cat, get over it. If you've got all that kind of fear, you need to get more love in your heart. Because faith does not cast out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You need to get some more love in your heart. You need to love people. If God is love and God is in you, the love is in you, the glory is in you, and the ability is in you because it's been placed there for what purpose? To make you a big shot? No, to bring in the kingdom of God. Victory comes only through Jesus in salvation and His Holy Spirit inviting us, abiding in us. He sent. He said, I would send the Holy Spirit. And as you know, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in power. You have power. Because it's been given to you. Not because of anything you've done, but because of grace, you have been given not only salvation, but you've been given power. And we are to demonstrate His glory. We are to demonstrate His glory as we fulfill our individual call. Because we have individual calls. And in doing that, we demonstrate His glory in the fulfilling of our call. As we demonstrate the great victory of Christ in us, His glory is manifested. His glory, in other words, it shows up. You can see it. Everybody knows it. You know it. Everybody else knows it. But it's you can see it flowing through us to bring the message and power of His glory into the world. And it comes through us. The kingdom is established in victory in every salvation, every healing, and every deliverance. Because when salvation happens, we know, I've said it over and over, I've taught it and taught it and taught it, that salvation is saved, healed, and delivered, all rolled into one thing. And we are instruments of that. We are carriers of that. We should spread the gospel like a virus spreads. We should have a Christian epidemic going around the world because we're coloring in our circle that God has assigned us to do. If you've ever seen one of these movies that tries to just scare the liver out of everybody about, okay, this person breathed and they got this and then they got on the airplane and everybody on the airplane got sick and then everybody that they encountered when they got home got sick and that sort of thing. Do you understand that that is Satan's vision for the world but not God's? Do you understand that God's vision for the world is that you get Christ and every place you go, you fill other people with Christ. Or certainly the opportunity to be filled with Christ because they have free will. That's what we're to do. That's bringing in the kingdom. That's your part in the glory. And it's victorious. To say it's not victorious is to say that God's a wimp, really can't do anything, and he must have lost all his power after he created it all. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Makes no sense whatsoever. Victory, my brothers and sisters, is ours. But it's only ours if we understand what Jesus said here, if we understand what it says about the glory. Get yourself a concordance or something and look up the word glory and read every scripture involving glory. Let your mind and your being be filled with the glory of God so that you can look at it and you can see it and you can understand it. And you can dish it out. Believe me, the world's wanting to dish out the devil's stuff to you. It's time for us to show the victory of our God in our lives and in bringing other people into the kingdom. to show the victorious power of Jesus the Christ, working in us and through us to bring His kingdom in. Glory! 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 I have a friend that always goes around, he'll get excited just out of the blue, and he'll go, glory! Scared me sometimes. He'd startle me. Wouldn't scare me, I guess, but he startled living daylights out of me from time to time, you know? Be driving down the road, he's driving his truck, and we're in his truck, and we're going down the road, and he'll go, glory! Well, I've seen some pretty glorious things happen through the hands of this man laying them on sick people. Through the word when it comes from his mouth. That's what God wants to do with you. You don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to be a great teacher. What you have to be is a great vessel, filled with the glory of God and the victory of God. Just do what you've been assigned to do. Touch the people you've been assigned to touch. Well, where are those people? If you don't live in Hong Kong, they're not in Hong Kong unless God sends you to Hong Kong. You know? I've had people say to me, oh, you know, those people that run Washington, D.C., they're just so bad, and they're just so this, and that's just so terrible, and there are lots of sad things that happen there. But I'll tell you what, you go around, you talk to those people, you know where they all came from? Most of them came from little towns that had little churches. And everyone's wanting to blame somebody else. We've got to show the glory of God in any little podunk village we live in any little podunk church we're a part of. Because there is no such thing as a little podunk church. That's what the devil wants you to think. I'm here to tell you that everybody came from someplace before they got to where they are. And everybody's going someplace, and we want, as Reinhard Bonnke says, we want hell empty and heaven full. The glory of God needs to show up and be evident in our lives. We need to submit to the glory of God. We need to be one in the glory of God. We need to be one with God, just as Jesus said we could be. Oh, all you people out there who are just sucking air in right now going, how could we be one with God? How could you not be one with God if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? Think about it. Stew on that a little bit. Think about it. Get in your scriptures and look at it. You can live in victory. Glory. That's the message for this session.